In 1 Corinthians, the 18th verse, and I don't know how many of you have been paying any attention to the news of what's going on in Washington about the judges and the filibuster and all of this. And some of the comments that's been made, it is amazing how that men of no faith, men that claims to be decent people, but yet acts like if you've got a religious conviction that you're just garbage or shouldn't be allowed hardly out of your house, but yet they can turn around and put a man in an office to judge and supposed to be given righteous judgment before people that has no morals, no decency, rules totally contrary to the very foundation of what our government is, and that they want to set up. But a man that wants to go back and use exactly what our founding fathers used to make our laws and putting the foundation to our laws was the Word of God. Any man that wants to do that, they don't want him in our government as a judge, no place. And the foolish statements that you hear coming from them, and then they will turn around and say, you know, well, this man may use his faith as something to back up some opinion that he may. Well, they're using their lack of it for all of their opinions. And it is so pitiful that we've got newsmen that has such a little bit of insight or so biased that they won't come up with the questions and ask them, well, if you believe in the liberal way, why is it that every judge has got to be liberal? You don't want any conservatives at all in the court nowhere. Well, what's wrong with having a few conservatives if the liberal is supposed to be so right when our nation is proven, if you take a survey, that we're more to the conservative side than we are to the liberal? And yet, the few in Washington that is controlling things does not want a conservative of no kind in any kind of office where they can change things. And they realize if they do, their playhouse is going to be torn down. And I realize today it's not popular with a lot of people to say anything about politics, but it's time that Christian people get involved enough that they will call and they will let their senators and their congressmen know that we're going to hold them accountable when it comes around election time. And it makes no difference whether in your district or not. There's men that's doing this and planning for running for president. And right now is the time to let them know. You do this, we will not vote for you. I don't care if you're of our party, we still will not vote for you. And it's time for Christian people to stand up and let the world know that their things were not going to compromise. And that's the very standards of God. And if you take the Bible and you read the Bible, anybody that wants to follow the Bible and be obedient under the Word of God, you're going to come out the way that the world looks at you and be a real strong conservative. Why? That's what the Bible teaches. It don't teach this liberal garbage. Take a hold of everything. God got us straight in a narrow way. And it's time for us to realize right is right and wrong is wrong. And our judges need to come back and rule that fair way. If a man is guilty, give him the sentence according to his crime. If he does, set him free. And he can order, need to realize God is holding us accountable for the decisions that we make. In front of those decisions that our rulers make. Because if we vote, we help put them in office. And we need to be careful about how that we vote. Alright, if you'd like to read with us. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in the 18th verse. Listen to this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, all you've got to do is listen to what I was saying there to you and what you've been hearing in the news, and you'll find that there's all kinds of people, by the statements that they make, it shows just where they're at. And here he said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And you'll take highly educated people in Washington, men that can pronounce any word you want to put in front of them, men that got law degrees, they got a little bit of everything attached to their name, showing what kind of an education they've got. But God, when he looked down to them, he said, what happened? They're not willing to recognize the way that I've said it. So what did God look at them? He looked at them and being fooled by them. He said that they're pulling in the decisions they made. They don't want to recognize the righteousness of God. They don't want to recognize the purity of the law of God. And the youth have saved their for our own country today. We want to hold up everything that they want. We want to take the decision that other countries have made and try and change our law to come up with what? Would hold up in international courts or in international ways of thinking. And we have a constitution that was set up by some wise men to foresee what they did, to write down what they wrote down, to set up the government that they did. They had to have some leadership of God. And today we want to throw all of that away. We want to deny anything to do with God. We don't want to recognize that He's still the one that holds the power. The one we're going to have to do business with. Men in Washington, they want you to fear them. They want you to respect them. They want you to honor them. Well, if you get any honor, you get any respect. Come back to that God said. It's of the group of honor and respect, and that's a righteous life. That's a life that's separated from the things of sin. Quit holding up for garbage and hold Christ Jesus, hold righteous, pronounce to the whole world that we want to be a country that's set apart from all the rest of the filthy of the world and turn back. Go back to some moral standard that we might find favor in the sight of God. You know, you'll hear them talk about the Christian right as being foolish, uneducated, unlearned. Well, you know, that's not true. And it makes no difference how much education in a man's got. If he don't recognize that there is a higher power, if he don't recognize that there is a God that we're going to give an account before, then in the eyes of God, he's a fool, and he will prove to the whole world by the decision he makes that he is a fool. And you and I today, you know, it's so pitiful. They will talk about and argue for evolution as if it is a fact. And there is not one bit of evidence to prove that evolution exists at all. And you and I today, they cannot disprove creation. Because they can only trace man back so long. They found all kinds of things that they said, oh, they were supposed to be here so many more years and all of that. But everything that the Bible said, when they get down to the true facts, it's there. It only goes back to the day that God said that it would. They try and disprove the flood, but
but yet they fell out in prehistoric beasts and they fall out in frozen in the hour up in the north pole into a place like that. It's still there frozen from the time of the flood, but it was all washed away. You and I today, man can say the Bible's a lie, man can say God don't exist, but aren't you happy today? That's not what God judges me by. He judges me once in my heart. And the cross it breaks us the heart. And we look at that, realize that that cross is what brought us salvation. Because I'm only in the Son of God, but willing to die for my sin. It breaks us to me. And it's the most important thing. And in the life of each and every born again Christian.
Why? Because God's blood was shed upon a cross for our sin. And every time we see one, no matter where it's at, if you're driving down a highway and you see some sitting beside the highway on a church steeple or lit up any way you want to see a cross, it should break our mind. What was the purpose of that cross? It was the means of us being forgiven. Christ willing to go and die such a horrible death. And listen to this. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You and I, if we do not recognize God and His Son, how can we ever expect when we die to stand and be counted with God's people when this life is over? You know the sad part about it. You'll take all the people that fight again, standing up and speaking out for religion, standing up and speaking out anything about God. All these people in Washington that fight about that. When they die, they'll start talking about they're going to a better place. They'll start talking about, oh, how good they were, of what all the good that they done, and now they're rested from all they did, and they didn't recognize God. Look at their face laying there, that covenant door. They'll never see another moment of peace. Their days of peace and quiet and cold. God said for all of eternity, they'll lift their voice in hell. Cry for a drop of water. Cry for a little bit of pain. Cry for some bread. But He said they'll never find it. You and I today, God can give us peace in our hearts right here today. He can give us rest here because we can lay our head down and know we don't see another day. That is perfectly alright. We got a better place to go to than anything this world has to offer.
You and I today, don't be ashamed, even if it means some of these idiots from Washington would send papers ordering you to be locked up for your stand for God, because after all, they're that foolish. But don't worry about it, because God said there's nothing they can do more than take your life. But God said, I can destroy body and soul in hell. You and I, they might even come to the point where in America people will be dying for their stand for the gospel. But those that take their life, that's all they can do. That's all they could do to Paul. Paul left the testimony that he was going to a better place. Paul knew exactly what waited for him. And he said, for you and me too, if we will worship God in spirit and in truth, we will recognize just how precious the plan of salvation is. We won't deny that. We'll stand and be counted on God's side. We won't be ashamed of what God has to offer you and I. And we won't be ashamed to stand up for the righteous principles of God. And we won't be ashamed to stand and back some good, even if it means going to prison. And willing to stand up and hold up for the Ten Commandments. You and I today, it's time that we
Hallelujah! We desperately need men in that place that is willing to pray and accept guidance from God. Because believe me, a slick lawyer can make you believe a lie is the truth. A slick lawyer can make you believe black is white. I've heard them. They knew what they was arguing was wrong, but they would argue it so forcibly that you would think, that's got to be right. That's the way the devil works. He'll deceive the very elect, if possible. But a man that reaches to God, prays and talks to God, and asks God for guidance, God can help him to see through all the lies and all the deception. You and I today, though we have our court system full of people that don't want to recognize God, God's able to put forth some that can rule and protect us. But if the worst comes to where our court systems here in America turn against the religious people of this country, even more so than they have, you and I were faithful. God still promised when this life is over, place where we can go where there won't be any court decisions bought. The judges can't be paid off. We're going to a country where righteousness flows as a mighty stream. You and I today, here in this country, I realize people don't like to think about this, but there is courts that are bought. There's lawyers and judges that are bought and sold every day. There's men that are persuaded, whether it's with money or political failures, to rule in a certain way. You can say we're being innocent, was sent to prison for saying they didn't have anything to do with it, just because some lawyer, somebody wanted to off their board, and this man didn't have enough money to defend himself, so they just locked him up just because they could take care of that, and it would look good on the record that they got a conviction. They weren't interested in where it would kill their enemy, just what would look good for their. But you and I, when we stand before God, God sees the word there of every situation. He knows what's right, and He knows what's wrong. And man's going to be getting a righteous judgment. We may get very little of it here, but on the other side, we will find out just exactly what God thought of every bit of the decisions that is going down. You know, Ben, that a few years ago was counted as conservative here in America, now are starting to vote in ways that is highly unfavorable, I guess you'd say, to the things of God and to a religious stand. And, you know, we've got men that will argue for abortion and a little bit of everything like that, trying to justify it, and yet they will turn around and the same people will say that, well, the argument right now is that underage girls should have a right to have an abortion without notifying their parents, and it's going to go before the Supreme Court. And in a school, for I don't know how many years, you cannot send your kid to school with an aspirin for it to take itself. They've got to go and take this to the nurse and then go and the nurse give it to them. Or they've got to go with medicine, even if it's from a doctor, and they've got to take it during the day. It's got to be given by the nurse. That kid cannot take it. And they cannot give that kid any kind of medicine. That kid can get hurt at school. They cannot really do much of anything to it without notifying the parent. But the child can be pregnant and they can take it off and abort that baby and never tell the parents. Now, what kind of justice is that? What kind of reason is that? Put that child's life at stake. Put the rest of his whole life of being able to have children at risk without ever knowing about the parent and say, oh, that's right. That's good. They told you what little bit of common sense the man has that set the board of bench ruling of what is right and wrong. He has no sense of justice. He's a man that's carnal in mind and heart. He don't even comprehend what is right and wrong. You and I today, we need to go back. Go back to the things of God. Hold them up higher than we've ever held them before. Take our children. These things that still live. This is stuff you do not comprehend. These are things you do. Let God take it. You may compromise no matter what. Even if you're allowed to stay,
you must stand upon it. And teach our children just as it's happened a few times in school where somebody that was taught that anything you want to think is all right for yourself, then it's all right. And they were going to kill somebody, so they asked them, do you believe in God? Or do you believe there's a God? And they answered yes, and they just shot them. We need to teach our children that if you're asked that question, though it may look like that your life's going to be taken, answer it yes. Why? To deny God. You may die anyhow. Oh, wouldn't that be awful to stand before God? The last thing you said was to say, no, there's no God. Stand there and find out, yes, there was. Yes, there was. We need to start and teach our children there is a God from a very young age. Teach them what God's Word said. Instill into them. Listen to this again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We need to teach our children that. You know, just because the world wants to say that we came from a monkey, or whatever they want to say we sprang from. You know, I can remember back in the 50s when I was in school, arguing with a teacher in school before a whole class, and she just put me down and act like I was something awful. And I knew the woman outside of school in church, and it was because there was some kids come, and this is like, I think I was in the fifth grade, and these kids come to school and they was talking about what they had asked Santa Claus to bring them, and I told them, I said, there's no Santa Claus. And I told them exactly what Christmas was and why we celebrated it, because it was Christ's birthday. And I went through the whole thing telling them. And this one girl went to the teacher just crying her eyes out because I told her there was no Santa Claus. And the teacher scolded me and told me that was not true. There is a Santa Claus, and I don't want to know. Boy, I got irate with her because I knew better than that. And she just put me down and made me look awful. And after the class was over with, she come to me and she said, I know there's no Santa Claus, but these parents has told them that, and you have no right to tell them otherwise. You know, from that time on, I never believed a thing that teacher ever tried to teach me. Because if she would not be truthful over that, there was nothing else she had to say that I believed. You and I today, make sure when we talk to our children, we tell them the truth. The truth is something you'll never have to back down from.
Truth is something, it's the same today, it'll be the same 100 years from now. A lie changes every minute. But the truth does not change. That's why God said, I am the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because He's the truth and it does not change. And you and I today, we're going to come face to face with God in one or two ways. Either stand there as His child and hear Him say, this is mine. I own it. He's been bought with the blood of my son. You and I, we either stand that way, or He stands there as our judge, denying anything to do with it, and condemning us under a lake of fire. While we get some song to sing, I beg you, if you don't know God, or if you are trying to stay politically correct and compromise the standards of what the Bible says, know that it carries a tremendous cost. You know, a man is found guilty of murder in a lot of our states can get a death sentence. Well, when you deny God, you bring the blood of Christ upon you. And you stand before God guilty of His Son's blood. And I can show you in the Bible, guilty of all the prophets, of all the men's blood that ever stood and professed Christ and God and tried to bring His Word down through the Old Testament. All of the prophets that was slain for the gospel. All of the men in the New Testament. All of the blood, you'll stand to give an account of why you denied the very life that they lived. You denied the very thing that Christ come to do for you, to bring salvation. So each and every one of us, let's make sure that we stand before God in a way that's acceptable beneath the blood of His Son. And the only way to do that is come before Him and bow and repent of your sin. While we sing, one verse, will you come? You must be born again. That's what the Scripture says, and that's only through and by the blood of Christ. No other way can you be born but by that. That old natural birth that come, it brought life to this body. But that spiritual birth can bring life to that soul that will live for all of eternity with God. You and I today, God put it within reach of us. Do we want it? What's your decision tonight?